Hello and welcome, everybody, to Guilt by Association Football. I'm Ben McCormick, and here are my co-hosts, Rob Moyer and Ryan McCauley. Guys, say something.
Something.
Hello.
So you missed the off-camera dispute here. Apparently, Ben's the host now. I'm holding up for a new contract, so I might be here next time. I might not, so enjoy it while you can.
Well, gee, thanks, Ryan. You're going to leave me with Rob.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Mexico match impressions. I hope that everyone enjoyed our opening music. We are currently live in Philadelphia. You are not hearing this live, but we are live. And I don't know, guys. Mexico impressions, 1-1 draw.
Well, the first half we really can't count as,
shitty. Okay, if you want to be that blunt about it, then fine.
Let's let Rob lead over. What do you think here, Robert?
The young guys who came in as subs, Agudelo, Breccia mainly. I guess you could say Robbie Rogers, too, played fairly well. We're all much better than the starters, such as Buttle up top. Trying to think. Donovan wasn't really anything special on Wednesday.
You want to talk about Torres?
I'm going to describe that comment about Donovan.
Donovan was stellar. The dude was actually had some creative freedom for once. And once he got that, he had some pretty nice nutmegs there in the midfield. He was doing things, making things happen.
He did well to control the pace. He didn't. I think not having Dempsey there kind of helped him. He didn't have the clash of who's in charge of the offense. He was the one holding the keys, and there wasn't a battle for the driver's seat.
I'm kind of curious how we're going to see a guy like Clint Dempsey up against Belgium, already missing one camp. Now, granted, it's just a few practices, but I think that especially in those last 30 minutes, you had Jurgen, who has something he wants to work with, and there's no Clint Dempsey in that lineup.
Sure.
Well, if he's going to be giving them added freedom, more so than Bradley at least, it wouldn't be that hard to adapt, I would think.
I think the biggest thing to think about with Dempsey here, this is his fifth manager at Fulham in his time here. I mean, he's been through different systems, and he's gone through flying colors. He's won over every manager, so why will there be any different?
And finally, he's starting at the club level at the very first match, which is something new. I mean, overall, I think it was a positive match. Last 30 minutes especially, the first half, no shots on goal, no corners. That was a little bit concerning, but I've kind of figured that this entire 10-month process prior to qualifying would be growing pains.
I mean, Sarah and I watched the game again last night, and that stat that's zero shots, what, one corner, just Mexico absolutely dominated. And when we saw in the second half, we kind of got the control back. Now, whether you want to put that on to getting the rhythm back in, putting Shea in, or Mexico removing Marquez, any of those three can be considered, I think, the turning point for the match.
The very odd thing I found was that it was once Michael Bradley came off the field, basically America was in control of the match. Like, that was the start of the last 30 minutes, was basically when Michael Bradley came off the field. Now, granted, it might have been the presence of Breccia and not Bradley coming off, but certainly there's something to be said for starting the match with three defensive-minded midfielders. And then you bring in, and then you move Torres more centrally, you put Shea out wide, and then all of a sudden Donovan is moving more centrally when you bring on Robbie Rogers. I think that had a fair amount of impact on Jurgen's plan to attack.
Well, do you want to bench Bradley then? Is that what you're calling for?
I'm not saying bench Bradley. I'm just saying it's an interesting thought after we had MB90 for so many years and struggling with moving toward that attacking philosophy to where all of a sudden MB90 goes out. And all of a sudden, we are in control of the match, and we have that attack-oriented play, which you've always run.
Well, I'm more concerned about the defense. After watching the Gold Cup final especially, we looked
like shit.
Beyond lost.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and toast that to you.
We were Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Spalding?
And that leaves the question, will Castillo and Orozco get called back in?
Well, Orozco, I think, did very well after he
didn't get a red card.
He didn't get red card.
Steps in the positive direction.
But
because they both brought that Latin American style that you thought would at least stand up to the Mexican
Castillo
play.
Castillo brought nothing. He had a few tackles, but
he brought pace, and that's about it.
He Bradley outran him on the recovery. He lost the ball, and Bradley just beasted by him. I mean, he's supposed to bring pace, and he's being outpaced by a D-line midfielder.
Now, and just to clarify, I did not bash Michael Bradley. In fact, he played extraordinarily hard and was all over the field. I mean, MB100 was the phrase which we used on the night of, and he was playing like MB100.
I think the one thing that kind of got lost was how steady Bocanegra was. He had that one little miscommunication with Howard, but everything else. There was a one spin where he had four clearances in the matter of 40 seconds. Just everything in there got wiped out by Bocanegra.
And, I mean, he was extraordinarily solid, but it kind of sucks. He's 31, 32 years old. I mean, we'd be lucky if we had him at the World Cup, and even then, he's going to be a little bit older. Well, not even a little bit, many years older than many of his opponents, which he would face.
So will we be seeing Bocanegra in 2014?
I think you have him on the bench, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Alexi called me out
like Goodson's probably going to be getting a starting spot.
Goodson's 29 right now. 3 years, he's 32.
And he's right now, he's our best center back. He's been my guy the last 2 years.
He played really, really well in that. He played very well at Bronby, and he's captain now. I mean, come on, he hasn't even been there, what, how many months? So, although he's 29, he seems like a player on the rise at the club level. Now, that being said, you know, having center backs, if you want to talk about having a guy like Goodson and a guy like Carlos at 32 and 34 or 35 years old, I don't think that's possible.
But, I mean, you always talk about the age of Americans having those American years where you're playing less grueling schedules at college and you're playing less intense MLS schedules, and he was there at Dallas for a while. So, I mean, he's a young 29 to say that.
That's very true. Also, one person who I think caught everyone's eye was pretty much the rock at the back of the midfield in Kyle in Beckerman, who was absolutely huge. I did not expect that from him. In fact, when I saw the team sheet, I was very surprised, if not a pessimist, about how it would turn out. I mean, I guess I just don't have all that much faith in MLS, but he did many things to make me crow on Wednesday night.
I mean, personally, I've liked Beckerman at the club level for a long time, mostly because of his hair, his attitude, just the way he sits around, he bosses them, he knows where to be, he sits back, wins tackles. Yeah, it doesn't bring much going forward, but that's not his job. That's the job of, you know, the wings, he lets other people do their jobs better than they can without him there.
I mean, once you move Torres into the middle, you had an attacking player, which I think was...
Can we quickly say Torres is not a winger? Stop playing Torres on the wing.
Oh my God. It's not even close. The guy is 5'5", and he's got some pace. He's not that fast. He's not winger fast. I mean, okay.
He's got to play the attacking mid.
He needs to play the attacking mid. He's got great sense of where everyone is on the pitch, great vision, but he's just playing out a winger.
We have a guy on the team with better ball skills or in the pool.
My one thing is...
Damn good point.
Holden. Holden does all of that, plus is a better defender.
But will he play enough matches in the EPL for somebody to not break his ankles?
Well, okay, those two are both massive.
And Holden's also an option on the wings, too.
I don't want Holden as a winger anymore. He hasn't been a winger since he left Houston.
That's very true. And, I mean, you got to be pretty darn good if you won the player of the season at Bolton and you were hurt for as long as he was. I mean, that's very impressive.
With Lee being out for, I think, the whole year at Bolton, they're going to have to rely more on Holden to be that defensive rock and the creative spark without Lee being there.
Now, that being said, I just hope he's not hurried back too fast for his injury, because that would be worse than anything.
Sure.
And they do need him, and they need him bad. Although, by the result, 4-0 against QPR today? I don't know if they missed him so much.
Well, again, it's also QPR. But back to Beckerman. I think the one thing with Beckerman he brings that guys like Jones or Bradley or really any other European midfielder is experience against CONCACAF. I mean, if he's there against Monterrey in the final, RSL is the CONCACAF Champions League champion. I have no doubt in my mind.
His presence was absolutely vital on that team, and so that was a huge blow to not have him in that final match. All right, that being said, would you want to see more of him in future camps? I mean, as an extensive in the future, like World Cup qualifying, do you guys think that he has a place on the squad?
I don't know. Center midfield is pretty crowded for us. That's probably our deepest position. And if I had to say one guy who I was especially looking forward to seeing more of this qualifying cycle, I'd have to say Freddie Adu after the Gold Cup. Because he came in and he was very impressive against Panama. He was one of the few guys who played well against Mexico while he was in. He's inconsistent at best, I know, but...
For anyone listening, this is coming from a Philly Union fan, and you'll never guess where Freddie Adu just signed. Coincidence, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I agree. He was very impressive. Now, if you want to talk about a player who's American, who has those instincts of a number 10, Torres and Adu, I think, are on a level above all of the other players in the pool.
And I think I want to see more Freddie at the club level before I want him back in camp consistently, which we've seen from Beckerman for years now. We've always seen Beckerman as he's a potential all-star. He's a potential best 11. He's been one of the most consistent players in the league the last, I'd say, 5-6 years. And like I said, he has that experience against CONCACAF teams. I want him when we're playing, you know, at Guatemala. I want him when we're playing at I want him, at least in camp, maybe, I don't know if I want him starting, but I want him there.
Well, I think we all agree that we want to see the guy who we're going to see tonight, Breck Shea, more with the national team.
Get Brexual.
Sure.
He's a Brexy man.
Absolutely.
So, with his size and skills, he can be very effective on the wing.
Well, yeah, I mean, he scared the shit out of Mexico, and for good reason.
Very dangerous when he came on.
Can we briefly discuss the poopy incident?
Omar Arellano? I think it deserves some airtime.
Man literally shat himself against us.
It must have been after Breck Shea had come on, which means it could be out of fear of Breck Shea, which is understandable.
I think we did.
So he's like the bowel noise.
Yes.
The browning noise.
Sorry.
We did pinpoint a moment we think that he released, and that's after the hard Orozco challenge. He tumbled over and was seen wincing, walking off the field.
It was a powerful wince.
It was a very.
It was more work there than only facial muscles. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there was something deep in there.
You could tell he had like the butt cheek clenching in his face.
Oh boy!
But actually, Orozco, I thought, played very well after he settled in. I mean, he didn't stand out, and as a center back, you want that. You didn't say, "Well, there's Orozco getting burnt again." He did a good enough job, I think, to warrant another look.
Jurgen was always very explicit about wanting to have a Latin influence in this U.S. team and on its style of play. And Orozco, to be fair, unless I'm missing somebody, him and Omar Gonzalez from L.A. are the only Latin guys at the center back position that we can really draw from.
I mean, you can go deep with De La Garza, but he's not.
I don't think he's international quality.
He's not that level yet.
And he's not very big.
He's not.
So, that being said, Orozco had a very nice match, I'd say. He started out, he was nervous, you could tell. But I would say that Orozco was very calm on the ball after a while. Effort was absolutely huge with him in that match on Wednesday. I don't think I could find another player across that back four who worked as hard as he did. Every single time he had the ball, he was just in it. It was a lot of fun to see, and to be honest, I wasn't sure if I was ready to let him go after that red card against Ghana in the Olympics, but I'm willing to let him have another shot.
Nigeria.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on Ghana. Too soon.
Let's move on from this. And speaking of moving on.
Speaking of moving on, Jurgen impressions?
What? We're doing impressions now?
Shut. No, we are not.
Podcast, we all break into German accents.
I mean, this is, what are your impressions of okay. What do you think of Jurgen Klinsmann? Rob, if you speak in a German accent right now, I'm going to be furious.
180 degree difference from Bob Bradley. Is that agreeable from the panel?
I'm not 180 is complete turnaround.
I'm not going to go that far.
I mean, he's got hair. Bob doesn't have hair. That's 180.
But in terms of Leash, are you saying job security from straight out of the bat? Because I think he's going to get this full cycle, the rest of it, no matter what.
Well, I think at this point, when you've got a little over three or a little less than 3 years before the World Cup, if you change again, they're in it with Jurgen no matter what. If they lose the next five matches, he has to stay.
I think that he's been given until World Cup qualifying to basically figure everything out. And that includes, I mean, if he does miserably over the next 10 months, he'll still have a job and he'll still have the confidence. But if he moves into that first round of qualifying and then he starts to lose points, lose results, that's when he starts to lose all the control he's been given. I mean, there's the coaching vacancies at the under-20 level, Olympics, which we know he's going to have a big hand in those hires. He's got a lot of control, which, to be honest, as we've seen from after the 06 World Cup and last summer's World Cup, USSF is very, very protective of its control. So it was hard for them to actually hand it over to Klinsmann.
Well, I just wonder what concessions both sides made, because you're not going to have a five-year battle, and all of a sudden, oh, well, we agree. I wonder who broke in what direction. I mean, we'll probably never know that, but...
It's been obvious ever since the 06 World Cup that Gulati's man was Klinsmann the entire time. Even while the U.S. was playing under Bradley, it was always Klinsmann for Sunil. So I don't think it was money. I don't think it was finances as far as salary goes. It must have been control. Now, I don't know what he did surrender or did not surrender, but it seems like he's been given a lot of control. Now, granted, that's that short leash, is that with that control comes all the responsibility he has now. I mean, everything rests on his shoulders, which is a little frightening to me anyway because of his, less than sterling track record.
Well, do we think that his job's going to be based, or job security is going to be based solely on results, or do you think it has something to do with the amateur or youth ranks changes that he has in mind?
His job is to win games. We hired Reyna to be a technical director. He's there for development. I don't want Jurgen to be judged on how well he develops the youth. I want him to be judged on his results and if he wins or not. He's there to win us games.
Granted, he can help immensely by emphasizing youth and those things which are being taught by Reyna.
He
can
be
a huge help in that situation.
But will that be evident or seen by the 2014 World Cup?
I don't think so. I mean, the changes in the youth program are basically right now being made at the 12 years old, 11, 12, 13, that age group. So, I mean, we wouldn't see those till 2018 at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he crashes and burns, we could very well see the influences of him, well into the future, 10, 15, 20 years.
I just hope we don't focus too much on, what is Jurgen doing style-wise, what does he do? Development. I want to win games. That's what we're here to win. The hacks are here to win the cup eventually.
Do you think Jurgen's attacking style is better suited for us to win?
At the moment, no.
Because I feel like we've been overachieving lately from the Confederations Cup and winning our World Cup group.
That's fair.
And that was by doing the defensive shell and counterattacking.
But that's no fun. Jurgen is fun. Jurgen has fun.
You know fun? Winning.
Well,
one wants fun. Winning is fun. I enjoy winning.
I also enjoy winning.
So I not to sound like it.
I think it's fair to say that over the next 10 months he's going to have all the matches he wants to experiment and do things like that. But when it counts in the World Cup qualifying, he has to win. He's got no choice. He has to get those results, or I don't think he'll be in a job. I mean, we could see him get halfway through that first group, and I think if we're in any less than first place, there's at least some questions to be asked.
Well, there was the idea that we threw around last night about having a mini three-game trip maybe to South America next June, right before the start of World Cup qualifiers, and maybe that would be a good way to put the guys into a tough environment and see how they handle it.
Well, if you look back 4 years ago to what we did, we had that summer of soccer where we went to England, went to Spain, and then Argentina, come back here. And the idea there was just to battle test and play against the best, which it's nice to get the experience. It's nice to get the media attention, but I still go back to this idea of you want to play against teams you'll be seeing in qualifying. You know, I like the idea of...
Well, it's similar style of play, and you got them going in playing other Latin teams, then we won't look shell-shocked, hopefully, like we did when we played at Costa Rica.
Well, that's always been a problem. I mean, again, we
didn't... Granted, we were playing on a kitchen floor.
And we had Marvell Wynn playing, which...
And a 4-3-3.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, yeah, we should just stop. Yeah. Marvell Wynn is a podcast within himself.
I need a beer.
Takes trick.
So I think... I think it's agreeable that ideally we would play attacking soccer. But I don't know if we have the player pool to do so, which... You know, can Jurgen change that? Can he adjust that? I don't know. It's going to take at least 8 years to find out.
Well, I think...
He won't be given 8 years.
I'm going to change gears here a bit and stop being such a fucking pessimist.
Whoa.
We saw Breck Shea do things that we haven't seen any Yanks do since Beasley in 02.
He did nasty things.
He pushed, he challenged, he took defenders.
Beasley's an integral part of the team now.
Beasley what? Is not an integral part. He got called in.
Anyway, optimism.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've seen Shea do things you haven't seen in a long time. Agudelo, again, showed an aggressiveness we haven't seen since we had young Josie, which has seemed to have disappeared. And assuming that Agudelo doesn't lose that edge, he keeps playing with that the mindset of, okay, I'm going to beat you.
Swag.
Yes. If he has that Swagadelo running, I think we do have the potential to play a better brand of soccer. I mean, we're going to lose a shit ton before we get to that point. I mean, you don't just overnight switch over styles. There's going to be a rough period now.
Well, when it's all said and done, at the end of their careers, who will be the guy who has given more to the U.S. national team? Juan Agudelo or Jerzy Altidore?
Ooh. See, because...
It doesn't necessarily have to mean more goals. It can just be which guy helped the team more, was more reliable.
That's tough to say because Altidore is at the start of basically resetting his career. I mean, he basically hit the off and then on button on his career with his move to Alkmaar for free.
And Juan has, what, 2 years on him? Three, maybe?
Yeah, Altidore's 21, Juan's 18, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So Juan still has more potential, but, I mean, as we saw with Josie, everyone thought he was the next best thing, and then he flamed out to be a Real.
I mean, they basically have the exact same career path. I mean, they both came from New York. They both have... a bit more of a pace, a bit more of an attacking mind we've been used to seeing with an American forward. So I think it would be good to see...
Josie's much more physically gifted, though.
He doesn't use it properly, though.
Yes. I mean, look at Josie's more brawn, but I would say that Agudelo has much more skill on the ball, and that's...
I meant physical...
Oh, bulk.
Size.
Yes. He's a tank.
Yes.
But yeah, he doesn't use it well. It's like Cooper. Cooper has the size, he has the strength, but doesn't use it well.
So, say Josie flames out at Alkmaar in Holland. Is he back in MLS at that point? I mean, is that the last straw?
Sure.
Sure. Well, okay.
Do you want to compare? Is he going to be the new Adu in your mind?
Okay, so segue. Great segue. Who is the next national team player who's going to end up back in MLS? And you... In your opinion, who out there is abroad having some trouble and needs to come back?
Well, hindsight, I would have thought Benny Failhopper, right?
Well, yeah, but he's...
He's already here.
Yeah, he is here.
I know.
I think...
I would say Jonathan Bornstein.
Well, yeah, well,
already?
Yes.
Bornstein's playing at the under 20 level at Tigres.
I think it has to be Eddie Johnson. What is Eddie doing right now?
Besides in divorce court?
Well, on the field, what is Eddie Johnson doing? Eddie Johnson has no
Eddie
club.
Eddie Johnson never does anything.
Johnson has no club. He has nothing else to do. Bring him back home. Let him reset. What she was passing him because they don't want anybody, apparently.
He would be great at he would be great for the rebranding back at Sporting KC. As far as...
But they have so many forwards, though.
They do have so many forwards, but Eddie Johnson is a quality forward. especially in MLS.
Well, I think at this point he's an unknown quantity. I mean, he had two great years in MLS and kind of rode off those 2 years.
He got injured,
hopped the pond, and then disappeared.
Basically.
Well, for Josie, I think if he fails at Alkmaar, I'm not saying he would be the next guy, but if he fails at Alkmaar, how many more European clubs are going to keep giving him chances?
Alkmaar is a pretty sizable club, but granted, we all know that he got there because of Ernie Stewart.
Because Hull didn't go well. Whatever you want to call the club, was a disaster.
Hull did go well results-wise for Hull.
It didn't end well.
That ruined his
yeah
approach to the game, if you ask me, because he went in and had the aggressive mentality. And after his time at Hull, where his job was to get the ball to Vinegar Hasselink, he lost that drive and lost the fire we used to see in him. I think that was a turning point where we kind of like, okay, where is Josie? What is he doing now?
Well, we know how good he can be. I mean, we saw that goal that he had against Guadeloupe.
Oh, man, yeah, that was...
That was a deflection. It was clearly deflected. No one's ever mentioned the deflection.
Was it well struck?
It was a deflection.
Was it well struck?
We don't know. It was a deflection.
And Mr. Optimistic has gone back to pessimistic.
Yeah, exactly. Baby steps, baby steps. I mean, I don't know. Josie...
finishes beer.
I mean, Josie needs playing time at a club that's not up for a relegation battle like Hull, which, I mean, he got the playing time.
It was a terrible situation.
Oh, it was a horrible situation.
Sometimes he'd be the only guy up there. Sometimes he'd be with Vinegar Hasselink or Caleb Follin. But either way, Hull wasn't getting many attacking chances.
Oh, absolutely not.
So he had very few chances to work with as it was.
Alkmaar is a great place for him to be. And if he can't make it at Alkmaar, I don't know. He might be looking at Rizapur or something along those lines.
If he can't score in Holland, I mean, maybe he should just go the Milwaukee Wave or something.
Ouch. That sucks. That's harsh.
I'm ignoring that comment. We're moving on.
All right. So we're going to move to optimism, not Ryan Strongsuit. Who is the next MLS player, American, who's going to move to Europe, make the jump across the pond? You got something, Rob?
Why not Breck Shea?
Why not Breck Shea? Breck Shea is the man.
The match against Mexico wasn't just a one-game thing. He's been doing it all year for Dallas, playing well.
MLS MVP candidate at 21 years old, 6'4", massive pace. He's got one hell of a rocket left foot.
Yeah, I wrote in my piece for Dallas Football Elite that...
Shameless plug.
Humble brag. I wrote that Shea looked like ass the last time we saw him in the jersey. But we've had...
And that was in Philly also.
Also in Philly.
That was.
But we've had a half season of him tearing up the league. When Ferreira went down, he took that team on his back, carried him, and he was born anew. He took this idea of, okay, well, I have to be the man now. I'm the person that's running this team. So it's a new mentality that we've seen from him that, okay, his first cap, he seemed a bit tentative, seemed off the flow of the game. But now he's taking himself into the game, not in the game come to him. He's being the aggressor. And it's a whole new mentality we've seen from Breck in the last few months.
And how many MLS fans can tell you more than two players on Dallas besides Shea and Pierce?
Good joke. Heath Pierce is on Chiefs USA, for the record.
This is the fifth time the two of
them
have
messed that
up.
I got that wrong. He was on Dallas last season.
This is the fifth time in the last 4 days you two have combined to make that mistake.
This is not new.
Ryan is now pointing a gun at me.
That's inaccurate.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of...
That's your opinion.
Side note, how about George John? What's he going to do? And do we care?
Not play for Greece, preferably. That should be what he doesn't do. I mean, George John is a center back, and as we've already talked about, we are in need of young center backs who are international quality. And George John could be there, and obviously he's on one of the best teams in MLS, which, as we've already talked about, if you're on a high-quality team in MLS, you can most certainly be international quality.
So, again, there's one more for you, Robbie. How about Zach Lloyd? One more for you.
Is he or is he not on FC Dallas, Rob?
Yes.
There you go.
Attaboy.
Good job, Robbie.
And so, what about Omar Gonzalez possibly moving to Europe sometime in the future?
He's confusing. He's big.
I don't get him.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, he's big, but he plays the game like he's a Latin-style player, but he lacks the skill of a Latin-style player.
I think we can all agree he's better than Chad Marshall, though.
Oh, absolutely. Chad Marshall.
And Danny Caleb.
I'm a little freaked out by both of those. Wait, what's your beef with Danny Caleb other than the fact
that he's terrible and put in the worst performances by a Yank? Not
well, you're
going
to have a chance to boo him tonight. How does that feel?
Jay Heaps was 40 years old at the time. It was a thank you for your service.
Okay, how about Juan Agudelo? Is he going to make the jump across the pond anytime soon?
I want him to have one more year here. And then
I agree.
If Atletico still wants to give him a shot, we'll hop him over to Madrid.
Atletico.
So next summer, finishing next season.
Yeah.
So another year and a quarter, say.
Atletico is the team who wanted to switch the guy who we now hail as potential MLS MVP, Breck Shea, off to center back. I mean, I'm wondering how much of Breck Shea's emergence has been as a result of finally finding a place in the team. I mean, for FC Dallas, he's played center back, left back, striker, and now he's finally at left midfield. And I mean, is he locked in and settled in and goes, this is where I am?
I think his versatility makes him the player he is because he can do everything well.
So is Breck Shea national team material at left back, crossing my fingers?
Well, okay, he's material at left winger, we know that for sure. Center back, we're not quite sure. Basically, anyone with two legs is a left back caliber right now.
Is a candidate.
Well, going back to what you said about Agudelo Atletico, that'd probably be a good club position for him because they've turned out good strikers before in the big clubs who were Raul, Fernando Torres, and Sergio Aguero.
Mm-hmm.
So they can obviously take Raul talent like Juan has and turn it into a better player.
You could go to any club in Spain at that level and you'd probably get a lot better quality coaching than at the New York Red Bulls.
Better than Hans Bacca?
Oh, what? You mean, wait,
well, they secretly spiked the drinks at Red Bull Arena with Red Bull. That's why they're so energetic in the first half and dead in the second, right?
So is this why people talk? Is this what people talk about at Union matches?
Yes. It's all very accurate.
Speaking of the Union, boy, segues are just plentiful today.
If you mention Danny Caleb, I'm going to cut you.
Well, look at what we're going to talk about.
Of course, he's
going to be mentioned.
I'm just going to piss you off. Danny Caleb is the center back for the Union.
Ex-captain, I should say.
For the Union, who also just signed Freddie Adu. So Freddie Adu's coming home. After that, I'll say it. It was a stellar time he had in Turkey, albeit in a lower division. And then he had a great Gold Cup. Is this an underwhelming move?
Well, the Union before that were a defensive stalwart that was going to have trouble scoring with Freddie. Who knows? Maybe he'll finally get it together, start playing well. I mean, I don't know what to think. He could very well help the Union and be an integral part, being that playmaker and helping us win the MLS Cup, or he could flame out and drag us down with him in the playoffs.
I think the important thing to remember here is that, who's in charge of the Union? Who's their manager?
Peter Novak.
Who was in charge of DC when Freddie got run out?
Novak. Who was in charge of the Olympics?
Well, he wanted him back.
Exactly. He's giving him a second chance. I mean, clearly Peter...
That's got to be good for his psyche.
He clearly sees something in Freddie that's been changed since he left. He's clearly seen something that... he's no longer the pop star dating...
Who is that? Who is he dating? JoJo?
JoJo.
Oh, man.
Well, he's no longer he's not the me first kind of whatever. Oh, I'm going to just half-ass in practice and then kind of show up during games because I have a contract. He's no longer that guy. I think we've seen a new, mature Freddie Adu.
His breaks on Twitter with the national team, I think, have been a big sign of that. Now, granted,
do you think he's grown up then?
I don't know if he's grown, but he's definitely more matured than he was when he left.
I mean, let's not forget that he was 14. he was literally a kid. He was the definition of a child at the time. And now he's still young, but he's no longer a teenager. He's a growing man. I mean, he's going to mature. He's going to find his way. And I think we're seeing a new Freddie who can be that guy for the Union, because Torres hasn't gotten a fair shake.
Well, Torres is going to be the guy who gets robbed on this whole deal. Yeah.
And Nakazawa isn't that guy. Justin Mapp can't do that.
Justin Mapp is terrible as a season ticket holder and someone who has seen him play a lot. He gets the ball. He doesn't cross it, which is the one thing that he's good at when he has it on the wing.
Just does.
And he just does not backtrack on defense. He's not a good player.
But I think Freddie is that guy who can fill that gap and say, okay, well, now he knows his role better now than he did 5 years ago.
Absolutely. Freddie, he's still got all that potential. He's still got the vision. He's still got the touch. As we saw in the Gold Cup, I mean, in the match against Mexico, best U.S. player, in my opinion. I mean, the guy was just everything we were missing. If there's one case to be made for not firing Bob Bradley, regardless of how Jonathan Bornstein played, our offense was clicking. I'd say it was about as good as we had seen since the last summer with Torres at the World Cup. I mean, we were just on. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not the case. But that being said, Freddie still has all the potential and all the tools, and it looks like he might be that missing piece of the puzzle for the Union, which would be incredible. Now, we were just in Philly, so we thought we'd talk a little bit about Philadelphia. Jim's, Chubby's, epic cheesesteaks. Oh, the best cheesesteaks. Go to Jim's if you ever can. Jim's downtown, South and
4th?
South and 4th, or on South and 3rd, 4th probably. That was absolutely awesome. A few of the other people we met, I mean, Keith Hickey, at US Arsenal on Twitter if you want to follow him. Hilarious.
We've talked a lot about being like a soccer intellectual. Now let's be fans again. Now let's talk about what we saw on Wednesday. Let's talk about Rob and I at the bar on Tuesday. Let's talk about pregame on Wednesday, and then just the atmosphere of being an outlaw.
Tuesday night at the Dark Horse.
I think we should start with Ryan had the greatest 20 minutes of his life being grilled by Alexi Lalas at the Dark Horse.
Sexy Lexi.
That was terrifying. That man is very, very tall. You don't realize how tall he is until you're like right looking about 90 degrees up at him.
I wouldn't say he was as bad as Bob Saget, but he was definitely letting zingers fly when the cameras weren't on him.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see it from him. How about Twellman?
Twellman
seemed like a generally very down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, we bought him a beer. He seemed very genuine with just being gracious and very, like you said, very genuine, very down to earth. But
only to have then the next morning tweets about him having an AO scarf on and not ever wanting to actually remove it from his body, which is awesome.
And that's the great part. They're both very supportive of American Outlaws.
Extremely. I mean, Grant Wall walked through the parking lot. Easily the best-dressed man in that parking lot, by far. I mean, everyone's out there in other gear.
And except for me. I look good.
You did look very good. We had an excellent trip.
That's without question.
Yes, I look great.
Uncle Sam hat, matching goatee, U.S. flag sunglasses. It was an awesome time. Speaking of which, pregame, I mean, geez, everybody who was at pregame, Shannon, Joe.
Other Joe.
I mean,
would have gone into McFadden's, but
little Benny here.
I'm not that little. It's just age.
But we did get to check out Michelle Beadle in Sports Nation.
And Rob yelled obscene things to her.
And right. Certain parts of her we got to observe as well.
And that's why we are guilty.
And then I slapped a little insert at her as well as the rest of us who were in a certain picture. Fun times.
What is this we business, Rob?
This was me. A picture that we were in that I insulted.
That was a fun time with Sports Nation, although we were stuck kind of with not a whole lot to do. So thanks to everyone.
But we didn't have to listen to Colin.
DTOT. We did not have to listen to
Colin. That was good.
And then
I guess sucks.
Fly.
I mean, how disappointed would we have been if Sports Nation came and Colin was there And Michelle was back at the studio.
Oh, God. Nobody would have showed up. Nobody would have stayed.
I'd have rioted.
One-man riot.
Straight-up riot. I am a one-man riot.
Well, there you have it. Colin is not the one keeping Sports Nation on air.
It is most definitely Beetle, who did do a pretty good job of leading the Outlaws in a chant.
She did. She stepped up big for us.
She was fun, and of course you had Taylor there with the flyest kicks I've seen on somebody wearing a suit coat in quite some time.
Going to the actual match, though, atmosphere, we sat in the AO section behind the goal.
No better place to be.
I thought once the match started, it got a little quiet, especially when Mexico took the lead. And then once we took that goal, when the new guys, Breccia and Juan Agudelo, came on, I thought it really started to get crazy.
There is no...
It was a very fun atmosphere.
I've decided this. There's no better feeling in sports than watching America score a goal against Mexico live and being there. I mean, it is just absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen one of those matches live, gotta put it on your list.
You get the glory of the U.S. scoring and the misery of Mexico conceding a goal. Watching all their fans sit there, stand there,
dumbfounded at how they've gone yet another 4 years without a World Cup victory.
We always talk about the 12th man and, you know, having that the fan support being the 12th man. Well, we had an actual 12th man on the field for us.
We did actually have a 12th man.
That guy, whoever you are my MVP.
Legend.
After you came out, that's when we saw the new push.
And that was when it was 1-0 too, wasn't it?
When he came on, that's when we started to dominate. So, field runner.
And he ran across the field right in front of the AO section.
Held up the American flag upside down.
Probably had a lot of drinks in him, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely he did.
But that guy's my man of the match.
But that's why you do your best work when you're drunk.
That guy's my man of the match.
That was probably the calmest arrest I have ever seen. Like, he ran out onto the field, and he never even tried to evade the guys. They just kind of ran up to him, and he just took it.
He just kind of walked it out.
Walked out the field. Although, thumbs down to whatever fan of Mexico threw a bottle of Landon Donovan postgame.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Absolute.
But thumbs up to the Mexican fans who called him out.
Absolutely. Credit to those who were, you know, pointing him out and got him the beating he deserved.
I mean, I'd like to say that I would have done that if the situation was reversed, point out a U.S. fan who hit a Mexican player, but
who's the Mexican
player? I don't know.
Who's the Mexican player?
Exactly.
Marquez? That's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd hold him down and let Timmy come out and give him a few whacks to the ribs or something.
Well, there that is.
What, do you assume that he's a violent man?
No, but Timmy is not happy about the Marquez qualifier.
I'd rather let MB90 go nuts on him.
MB100, man.
MB100, excuse me.
MB100. Or we could let Marvell Wynn go nuts on him, then we don't have to cap him, for sure.
You make a very good point.
I don't want Marvell Wynn within 100 feet of a U.S. national team match. I'm just saying. It's a matter of principle.
Okay.
All right, with that, that's all we had for this episode of Guilty by Association Football. I'm pretty sure our name makes a lot more sense now.
That we've heard the dark mind of Robert Moyer.
Yes, that name was definitely given in part because of my antics.
You can follow all of us on Twitter, Rob at Yank NUFC. Myself, it's Ben McCormick, 33, no spaces, no dashes, no nothing. And Ryan McCauley at McNulty21. Until next time, have fun, guys. We'll see you.